at the beginning of the gospel that the deacon just read this morning, we are told that Jesus took Peter, John, James, and his first cousin Mario and went up the... No, wait. I'm sorry, that's not in there. But if he'd been there, he would have been there, okay? All right, Peter, James, and John and went up the mountain to pray. Tough journey sometimes, this following Jesus. We often overlook the fact that the three disciples had to climb a mountain, which was no easy task. Anyone who has ever traveled to the Holy Land, I'm sure you've been to the top of Mount Tabor, where we are told all of these events occurred. You know how high a mountain this is. The climb to the top is almost 2,000 feet long and 1,886 feet up. So if you do the math, and I'm no math major, it appears that for every step you go laterally, you're going a foot vertically. That is a very, very tough climb. The journey would have taken, even for strong men, the better part of a day, and probably had its own set of dangers. And when you get to the top, looking down is like flying in an airplane and sitting by the window and looking out at the Jezreel Valley of Israel, which contains Armageddon, the Mount of Megiddo. We've all heard of that. So here, in this journey, is a symbol of the cross and the struggle that sometimes it can mean when we follow Jesus. The climb was up the rough side of the mountain. It was exhausting, difficult. It tested their strength. This climb is a little bit like our own life. We have often had to climb to endure, to have our strength tested in our just regular old life. Perhaps it was the climb of earning a college degree or a degree above that, maybe a master's degree. Maybe it was the climb of raising four children under the age of six, or building a career, or providing a home for your family, all sorts of things. What do you have that you really value that did not come at the price of a steep climb of effort and of struggle? Most of us know that though the climb is difficult, there is glory at the top if we but persevere. Life's difficulties are often the prelude to success and to greater strength. Though we might wish that life had no struggles, the Lord intends a climb for us. For only the cross leads to true glory. Where would we be without some of the crosses in our life? Let's ponder some of the purposes of problems in our life. God uses problems to direct us. Sometimes God must light a fire under us to get us moving. Problems often point us in a new direction and motivate us to a change. Is God trying to get our attention? Sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. Blows and wounds cleanse away evil, and beatings purge the innermost being, the writer of Proverbs says. There's an old gospel song that speaks of the need of suffering to keep us focused on the Lord. It goes something like, "Now the way may not be too easy, but Lord, you never said it would be. Because when our way gets a little too easy, you know we tend to stray from thee. Pretty wise words. It's sad but true. God sometimes needs to use problems to direct our steps toward Him. Sometimes God uses problems to inspect us, to inspect us. Some wise man once said, or maybe it was a wise lady, people are like tea bags. If you want to know what's inside them, just put them in some hot water. Has God ever tested your faith with a problem? What do problems reveal about you? Our problems have a way of helping us to see what we're really made of. The deacon and I were talking. He does work at Texas Children's Hospital on an all-voluntary basis. And the number of times that he's run into parents of children with a specific disease and how much testing of those parents' life and metal and faith comes with those diagnoses. What do problems reveal about you? Our problems have a way of helping us to see what we're truly made of. Through trials, I have discovered many strengths I never knew I had. There is a test behind every testimony. Got that? A test behind every testimony. Trials have a way of purifying and strengthening our faith, as well as inspecting it to see whether it is truly genuine. St. Peter wrote, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These trials are only to test your faith, to see whether or not it is strong and it is pure." God also uses problems to correct us. Some lessons we seem to learn only through a bit of pain and failure. When you were a child, your parents told you not to touch the hot stove. But you probably really learned not to touch a hot stove by getting burned. I had a first cousin. It took him about three times to learn that you don't take your mama's bobby pin and open it up and stick it in an electric socket. He was a little bit dumb and a hard learner. Three times. Sometimes we only realize the value of something, our health, a relationship, by losing it. Scripture says, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." That comes from Psalm 119. And just before that, in the same psalm, we read, "Before I was afflicted, I strayed, but now I keep your word." God sometimes uses tough times to protect us. A problem can be a blessing in disguise, what the Amish call a backwards gift. A blessing in disguise. If it prevents you from being harmed by something that is more serious. There's a story told of a man who was fired for refusing to do something unethical that his boss had asked him to do. He wouldn't do it. He got fired over it. His unemployment was a problem for him and for his family. But it saved him from being sent to prison a year later when management's actions were truly discovered. In Genesis, Joseph says to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And finally, God uses problems to perfect us. Perfect us. Problems, when responded to correctly, are character building. God is far more interested in your character than your comfort. That's the opposite of what you hear in our culture. God is much more concerned about your character than he is about your comfort. St. Paul writes, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us, in that they help us learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us and helps us to trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady." From Romans chapter 5. And then St. Peter writes, "You are being tested as fire tests gold and purifies it, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried in the fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day of his final return." And go back to the epistle for today, the second lesson. And St. Paul writes to a young pastor. His name was Timothy. "Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that only comes from God." Sometimes we clergy too need to be reminded that God cares a whole lot more about our character than he does our comfort. So, the climb, well, that climb symbolizes the cross. But we're on the other side of that climb, and we remember that after the cross comes the glory. Amen.